Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for just being good to us. Lord, you are simply awesome. Just thinking back over the last week and all the things that we were able to just hear and experience, and it was just a really good time. It's a good time to be a part of your church. And God, you're really not messing around, and you're calling us to get serious about what you're doing, just corporately as a church, but also individually in our own lives. And so it's been a good week. It's been encouraging. I've heard a lot of good testimony from people who are just fired up about what you're doing in their life and just getting serious. And so, Lord, it really ties right into what we're doing here in the Passpoint class and just being all in. So I pray you'd speak to us today. We're officially going to dive into the book of Jonah. And I just pray that you would remove me. There's a lot of things that I want to say. I've been really excited about getting to this point for a hot minute now. But, Lord, I know you have some things that you want us to grab a hold of. So, Lord, just speak to us today. Get the honor and the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. We'll get there soon enough. So last week we kind of dabbled into the book of Jonah more than anything because I didn't want Tucker to be mad at me for not starting for another week. But I really wanted to get everybody ready for the Vision Conference. And as I look around the room, most of you guys were here for some of, if not all of, if not most of the conference. And it was really good. It was pinpointed to what God's doing through HBF, and it was just if you missed it, go back and listen to some of the recordings. It was a good time. So anyway, so the question I have is, and I don't really have time, so it's a rhetorical question, but like, how exactly did God talk to you this week? Because if you were somebody who rolled into church not only Sunday morning, but you came back on Sunday night, and you were here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. Yeah, I know. There was one of the little boys that was going to church with us, Lauren's little boy. He was like, man, we're going to go to church 5 times that week. That's a lot of church. I'm like, amen, man. We'll get a break next week. It's all good. So anyway, it's a one time a year thing. But if you were somebody who was here for not only just some of it, but like all of that, there's no way that the Lord didn't speak something to you, that he didn't try you with something, that he didn't say, hey, what are you doing here? Why aren't you doing here? And so I really want to tie that into as we roll into the book of Jonah, right? And so I left you guys last week with a challenge because we really only got into like the first verse or two of Jonah. And let me get there. The cover just completely comes off my Bible. Anyway, let me get there. So the first... this is what happens when I'm not ready. Okay, so the first verse, we got into this last week, and it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. And so I left you with this last week. And I've already heard one person who has who's told me, like, and a lot of times I ask you guys to do things. I even tell you guys to do things, knowing that full well, you're probably not going to do them, right? Just because I know you, because I am you, right? I've been there. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And so, and I challenge you. I'm like, okay, so when you walk out of here and you start hearing what God's going to do throughout this week with the Vision Conference, right? And I challenge you. I'm like, okay, so now the word of the Lord came unto you, fill in your name, saying, arise, get up off of your, and go back from last week. I got kind of fired up, but get up. Stop being whatever it is that we are, right? Content, lazy, whatever. Get up and do something, right? And arise and go into, and then fill in the blank, right? And so hopefully that didn't just happen in one person's life this week, because somebody was like, hey, this is it. And it was very practical. And I'm like, wow, that's really good. And so hopefully that's exactly where you're at with it as well. And so anyway, I broke down the book for you last week. It breaks down into 4 chapters, obviously. The title of the book is Jonah, God's Great Fish Story, right? Everything in the Bible, or everything in the book, is going to be great. The word great shows up over and over and over again. And so anyway, the chapter 1 is God's Great Storm, and we're going to dive into some of that today. So as we get into it. So after the Vision Conference, you can start to see, and because most of you guys knew this already, but if you weren't completely tuned into how things roll at HBF, right? We're not just a church in the middle of a pasture. I mean, we kind of are. And we're not just a church full of people who are fairly serious about what the Word of God says, which we are, right? But we're not just here to get our church quota in. We're not here to make sure we're on the right side of the grace of God. Any of those things. We're here to actually accomplish something, right? And not just here, not just in the community we live in, not just with the people we know, but even around the world. And that's kind of what the Vision Conference is for. And so after the Vision Conference, you can start to see that HBF, we have a plan to reach the world, right? And so somebody told me, they were like, man, we were really heavy on Zambia or Africa at this Vision Conference. I'm like, yeah, it was for a purpose, right? That was Brian's focus this year. Next year, we might hear one thing about Africa because he's going to focus on a different continent and some of the trips that we're going to be taking. Just be ready because there's some bigger trips, right? And so if God's calling you to go on a mission trip, you might want to sign up for one of these, like to the Dominican, because if not, you might be going to India before you know it. And there's a little bit difference between going to India and going to the Dominican Republic. I'm just saying. So anyway, I mean, nobody has to do anything, but if God's telling you to, you better. So anyway, you can see that we have a plan to reach the world. So anyway, as we roll into the book of Jonah, God also had a plan, right? Right? Even in the book of Jonah's day, he had a plan, right? In fact, that's kind of what the title of today, what we're going to talk about today, is God's great plan to reach all people. We're going to see that in the first seven verses of Jonah. God's great plan to reach all people. And I want to kind of give you some background because it's really easy to dive right into practical. And you guys know me. If we come in here and all you hear is a bunch of facts about different things and this is what happened way back when, and you're like, who cares? Right? I get it. It's my job to make sure that you don't ever leave and not have something practical to walk away with. So we'll get there. We're going to finish there. But today I want to make sure we hit what was so important about what God was doing in Jonah's day, why it was important, and what we can take from it. So anyway, God has a plan to reach all people. So let me just read the first little bit of this. Get your head where it needs to go, because I know you guys have been reading it over and over again like I asked you to make sure you're ready to go. But anyway, in case you didn't, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Anybody know a place that's kind of like Nineveh today? You know, their wickedness is just great. They do everything their own way. We'll get there soon enough. You'll track with what I'm saying. Verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into the ship to go with them under Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So we read that and we're like, okay, he's not going to go to Nineveh. He's going to go to this other place. Okay, whatever. Well, I'll tell you why that's pretty important here in a minute and why it wasn't just going somewhere else. But anyway, just kind of as you read it, sometimes there's more to it. Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Now, I've seen some storms, but like enough to want to break the ship, this must be some kind of storm, okay? "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his little g god," right? It doesn't say big G, it says little g, "cried unto his god and cast forth the wares that were in the ship under the sea," meaning anything that they had that was of weight, they were casting out. They were trying to get weight off the ship so that they didn't die. They were throwing, it didn't matter if it was worth money, it didn't matter if that's what they were going to deliver these things, whatever it was, they were like, "Get it off so we don't die." It says they cast the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now what the heck this guy's doing sleeping in what we would know as a hurricane, there's something going on here, okay? "So the shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy..." Notice that he doesn't say little g god. He says capital G God. "Call unto thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not." And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. They knew that this wasn't a normal storm. They knew that this wasn't a normal interaction with what was going on. They knew that there was a cause, right? Even a lost man knows that there's a cause for God trying to get his attention. It's what he does with that cause, that, and we'll get there soon enough. But anyway, they cast lots. It's a way that, is an idolatrous way to basically see the favor of the little g gods. But God allowed it so that he could bring Jonah into kind of what was going on. So we read this and we're like, okay, God tells Jonah to go do this thing. And he's like, no, I don't want to. What's the big deal? We do that all the time, right? People tell us to do things all the time. It's a free country. We're like, no, I'm not going to do it, right? Just ask my kids. They do that sometimes. They're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm totally kidding. My kids are pretty good. But some of y'all's kids, right? You're just like, hey, you need to do this. And they're like, no, I ain't doing it. I'm like, what? You can't tell me that. Well, I just did. So anyway, God says, hey, I want you to do this. And he's like, no, I'm probably not going to do that, man. And we don't really know the backstory. We don't really know the why. We're just like, okay, well, that's odd. You know, most of the time in the Bible, when God tells one of his prophets to do something, they're pretty obedient, right? They just kind of simply do it. Actually, if you want to know the truth, Jonah is the only one of the prophets in the entire Bible that refused to do what God told him to do, right? Only one that I know of. And so that's interesting enough of itself. But anyway, God had a plan. He had a plan to reach all people. Let me explain that to you. God wants all people to be saved. I think we understand that, right? We know that there's no one in the world that God's like, nah, you're too messed up. You're too broken. You're too off the wall, right? If that was the case, I never would have had a relationship with God, because my life was all of those things, okay? But God wants a relationship with all people. So what's he do? He comes and he tells Jonah, his prophet, he says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh, a Gentile city, a Gentile nation. I'll tell you a little bit about Nineveh in a minute, but I want you to go there and tell them the gospel. So God's got a plan to reach all people. It doesn't matter where they are, where they're from, what their background is. God will get the word to them. But at the same time, what we miss most of the time with this, and some of you Bible guys will get this, God had a bigger plan than that. It wasn't just, hey, go tell the lost world that they need to get saved. Because we know from different places in the Bible that even if we didn't say it, the rocks would cry out, right? I've been to places in the most remote places in Nepal, like the mountains, the base of the Himalayan mountains. It's craziest. I talked to people who actually had never heard the gospel, and you know what? They knew enough of the gospel from the fact that the sun comes up every day, and that the same things happen all the time, that there is a God. They just don't know how to put their brain on it, right? The problem is we live in America, and it's so accessible to us that we use it as a coaster, right? We use it as a paperweight. It's so available to us that we just don't care. But yet there's other people, but that's not the point. God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go. And yes, I want those people to receive it, but what I really want to happen is for this idolatrous nation that you live in, the nation of Israel, right, that is supposed to be my chosen people, to actually get serious about what's going on. And I'm going to show you a picture of what I can do. If you're not going to take it, I'll send it to somebody else. It's a picture of what he's going to do in the New Testament, right? In the New Testament, he says, okay, Jews, you missed the boat. The Messiah, Jesus, was right in front of you, and you were like, nah, I'm out on that. Just kill him, right? If we just kill him, he'll be gone and we don't have to deal with it. And so what happens? God, we're in the age of grace that we live in right now. God says, hey, anybody can get saved, right? Praise the Lord. Because if you were born back in Jesus' day, you, as a Gentile, you had no hope until after, you know, Jesus had died. But now we live in the age of grace. Praise the Lord, right? The only way you were going to get saved is if you transferred to Judaism, right? You had to be a proselyte Jew. You're like, what does that mean? Doesn't matter. It's just, it's dumb. But the point is, you live in like the greatest time in the world to receive what God is doing. But God says, hey, yeah, I want the people in Nineveh to get saved. I want them to know the word. But what I really want is for this idolatrous people that know better to be like, hey, if we don't get serious, God's going to give it to somebody else. Now, if the church can't hear that today, the people who are serious about the Word of God, the people who actually know what I'm talking about, if you can't get serious about the fact that you know better, you know what you're supposed to be doing, and if you don't, he's going to give it to somebody else, man, that lights a fire under me. Because I'm like, okay, I better do it. Because, you know, not that he's going to swallow me up with a fish, he's just going to take me out with lightning. I know better, right? And so God has a plan to reach all people. And he's not only trying to reach Nineveh, but he's trying to reach his own people and saying, wake up. Because I'm doing something. Anyway, Okay, so the book, just some things about Jonah. It's the beginning of the book. I got to give you some facts in case you want to know. So this book is contemporary time-wise with the book of Amos. If you were here on, I think it was Monday night, maybe, Thomas Harding was teaching out of the book of Amos, talking about a plumb line, right? I was like, sweet, man, they don't ever talk about plumb lines anymore, right? I'm a carpenter, that's what I do. And so I'm like, this is cool. And so Amos, the nation of Israel hadn't gone into captivity yet. They were actually in a fairly peaceful time, but they weren't close to God. They were just, you know, meh when it came to their following of God. And similar to today, again, right? There's some people that are pretty fired up, but for the most part, we're just like, yeah, whatever. You know, maybe I will, maybe I won't, maybe I care, maybe I don't, right? That's just, maybe it depends on the day. That's the world we live in, right? Y'all looking at me like, what's he talking about? I know what I'm talking about because I see it in y'all's lives. Like, that's what happens. It happens in my life. We're just like, I want to be serious today. We're just like, I don't know. Maybe I should. It's contemporary with the book of Amos. Jonah is the only known prophet to be, quote unquote, sent to a Gentile nation. There were other prophets who proclaimed against Gentile nations, but they did it from home. He was the only guy who God said, hey, I want you to go there and do it. Now, that is a little bit interesting because when you find out about who these people were, Jonah's like, I don't want to go, right? I don't really want to. He's the only one to be sent to a Gentile nation. Why did he do that? Because he had a plan for all people. It wasn't just reaching them. He was trying to make the rest of the nation of Israel say, why is he sending you there? If it's really the word from God, why isn't he telling you to talk to us? Because he has been talking to you. Your whole entire Old Testament, prophet after prophet after prophet, he's like, hey, figure it out. And they're just like, nah, I don't really care. I don't really want to hear you. Right? Go back to what he was talking about on Monday night in the book of Amos. And he was like, hey, this is what I want you to prophesy. And this old boy was like, you probably shouldn't talk like that anymore. And if you do, we're going to kill you. Right? So the prophets were there and they didn't hear it. He was the only one that actually got sent to do it in a different place. So here's a couple things that I want you to see as we go through this, just so you kind of know about what's going on. In verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, right? God spoke directly to Noah, right? There was no confusing the call. Today you might feel like, I think God's calling me to do something. I think God wants me to go on a trip. I think God wants me to get disciples. I think God wants me to get in the ministry. I think God is calling me to maybe sell some stuff and get serious about, you know, maybe in a couple years going to the mission field, getting trained up, whatever. I think God's telling me to, I think. Jonah didn't have to think. God said, hey, this is what I want you to do. Now, some of you guys have had a call from God that was so blatant that it was like, yeah, there's no confusing, right? I knew. When I had heard the gospel enough times as a lost man, okay, I'm like, okay, there's something to this. And then there was one time when it was like, if I say no again, if I don't say, all right, God, I hear you loud and clear. What I'm doing, it's got to go because it's not working. It doesn't matter how hard I try, how much I do, how much I was the kind of person I could fix anything, I could make anything work, right? Except for my own family, right? I could make all those, and I knew that if I cast this thing off again, it may be the last time I hear it. It really might be. And I even left the church. Some of you guys know my testimony. It was this church. It was a long time ago. It was 16 years ago. I left this church knowing that I really need to do something about this. And I didn't make it far. I got saved sitting in my truck at the stop sign out here by the Walmart distribution center. I can tell you my story some other time. It was back when not everybody had to go that way because you could get on the highway right here. And so anyway, I remember I was like, it was so serious that it's like the word of God came unto me and said, hey, if you don't figure this out, then this might be it. And so there's times in your life that you know, like God's saying directly to you, there's no confusing the call, but then there's other times that the call isn't so clear. That's why you have wise counsel in the church. That's why there's people that you can be like, hey, this is what I feel like God's telling me to do. How does that line up with, you know, what we're doing as a church? And this and the other. But anyway, God, there was no confusing what God told Jonah to do. Verse 2, it says, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness come before me. So the only thing we read in the Bible about this is, okay, Nineveh, it's a big place, and they're pretty wicked people. Okay. That's really all the information you need to know, right? You need to know that it's a pretty big place and that they're wicked. Okay, you got what you had to know. But if you're somebody who wants to know some details about, okay, so how big is it? Like, is it really that big? And how bad are they? Are they really that messed up? Let me just tell you a few things about Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire at the time. Some of you guys are like, I don't care. I slept through history class. That's fine. But that's just what it was. It was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. If you don't know anything about the Assyrian Empire, they were like the worst of the worst of the worst when it came to the Jews. They hated each other, right? Why? Because God had started giving them land that started butting up to theirs, and they started to get a little nervous about it. Like, because, okay, so God made the Red Sea part for these people. God has caused walls to fall down for these people. I don't really like you, and you don't like me. And so anyway, it was the capital city of the quote-unquote enemy, right? So that's what you need to know about Nineveh. If Israel was known as God's people, then Nineveh would have been known as the devil's people. That's the only other way I can put it. They were wicked. They were messed up, right? Nineveh was, this is really getting deep, but for some of you guys, you want to know this. Nineveh was founded by Nimrod. Do you remember who Nimrod was? He was the great-grandson of Noah back in the book of Genesis. Like, this place was founded by this guy. If you want to know something else about Nimrod, he was the one who started building the Tower of Babel, right? So wickedness, just from the get-go. This place is messed up.
Didn't they slap people with fishes?
We're getting there, right? We're getting there because God has a sense of humor for anybody who actually wants to study, right? Nineveh was probably the largest city in the world at that time, if not comparably so, right? This place was huge. It was big. It probably had close to 600,000 people in the city center, right? And we get that from the end of the book. It talks about there's 120,000 who didn't know the right hand from their left, meaning they were probably so young that they didn't even know. So you multiply that. There's probably around 600,000 people. Nineveh was deep into idol worship. Here's two particular idols that they worshipped very heavily, right? This is what Phil was talking about. One of them was the fish goddess, Nanshi, right? That's interesting. He's sent to the city of the fish goddess, and he gets swallowed by a whale on his way, right? God's got a sense of humor. Okay, the other one is Dagon. This is the fish god who is half fish and half man. And you're like, this is dumb, right? Who tracks into stuff like this? I'm pretty sure I watched an Aquaman movie not very long ago, and there was a dude who was like half fish and half man, and we're like, oh, wait, maybe we'd get into that kind of stuff, right? I'm not saying, I'm just saying, like, that's it. They were worshiping these things, and you're like, okay, well, we don't do things like that. I've been to India, right? And I'm not kidding. They like, their trinkets are on their dashboards, or like little almost bobbleheads, and they worship these things. When they drive by temples, they throw coins out the window because they feel like if they don't, then the God will, shine bad on them. They're into reincarnation, all these things. You gotta worship all these gods and different things, but that's just kind of the culture that these people are in. You're like, okay, well, that's not us. You're right. We don't worship the fish god. We worship the football god, right? Or we worship the golf god, or we worship the TV god, or the house god, or the car god, or whatever else it is that we're putting before God, because that's what a god is. It's anything you put before him. So anybody who's like, oh, we don't do that, okay, I do. I wish I didn't, but I do. It's just who we are, right? The inner city had walls that were 8 miles around it. That's the inner city, right? Super tall walls. They say the city was 60 miles in circumference. Okay, again, who cares? Jonah saw this place as a wicked city with wicked people. And you know what he wanted? He wanted nothing to do with them. God said, go, and he's like, I don't like them. Right? God said, I want you to go and talk to them. And he's like, probably not. Right? I have no interest in these people. I'm not going to do it. Jonah thought, this was his thought process. If I don't go to them, then God's going to kill them because he says that they're wicked. And so if I don't go, then he's going to kill them. So I'm going to take a bullet for my country here, right? I'm going to take a bullet for my country, Israel, and I'm going to let God take these people out. You know, and he was totally okay with that. That's messed up thinking as someone who is a prophet of God, someone who is called of God, right? He thought that God will just take him out. Verse 3, it says that he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down into Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare there and went down into it. It doesn't say that he went down and like caught the first plane out of here, right? It doesn't say that it's like the first place that's going anywhere other than here. He goes down and he strategically finds a ship that's going as far away as possible, right? At this time in the world, they didn't travel outside the Mediterranean Sea. Again, I'm not like a history guy, a geography guy, but I know a little bit of what's going on. They didn't do that. So you know where Tarshish was? If you're somebody who kind of can see the Mediterranean Sea on a map, right? It's like the southeast tip of Spain. It's like the last place before you get out into the Atlantic Ocean. It's as far as that modern world was going to travel. They weren't going any farther than that. So he says, I don't care what it costs. I want on the ship that's going as far away from here as possible. I don't just want to not go to Nineveh, right? That's what we do today. We're just like, God, I'm just not going to do it. I'm still going to come to church. I'm still going to do all the holy things. I'm just not going to follow you. I'm like, well, that doesn't even make sense, but that's what we do today, right? No, he's like, I want as far away as I can humanly get. That's what he says. That's where I'm going. It was approximately 2,500 miles the opposite direction. You're like, that's not that far. That's like saying, if God's like, hey, I want you to go to New York City. And you're like, okay, I'm going to L.A., right? He's like saying, hey, I want you to go to America. And you're like, I'm going to China, right? I'm getting as far away as humanly possible, right? And in their day, that's as far as he could go. He's like, I'm not doing it. Jonah's willing to leave the presence of the Lord. That's what it says in verse 3. It says that he wants to go from the presence of the Lord. Now, you guys, Bible students, understand you can't lose your salvation, right? But at this time, Jonah's like, I'm leaving the place of the presence of God, right? I don't want to be around that. I can't be there. He's willing to leave the presence of the Lord in exchange for God taking out Nineveh. He searched out a ship that was going as far away as possible. He's like, I'm out. I'm not just not doing this anymore. I'm out, right? I'm not going to just not hear anymore. I'm not doing it. And some of y'all are like, okay, where are you going with this? I don't know. We only spent the last 6 months going through what is it that God told you to do. I guess the question is, are you Jonah or not? Right? Are you actually serious about what God's doing or not? In verse 4, it talks about a storm, right? I don't have time to read it, but this is no ordinary storm. Compare this, I don't have time to go there, but in Acts 27, verse 13 to 15, you remember the Apostle Paul on a journey, and they run into a storm. It's the same type of storm, right? It would be the same as what we would compare a hurricane, you know, the biggest hurricane that you can run into. The mariners, the people that sailed all the time, they weren't scared of storms. That's just what they did. They weren't used to storms, but not like this, right? This was new to them. And that's how they knew that something was different. It says in verse 5 that they called unto their little g gods, right? They did everything that they could do. They were throwing things overboard, no avail. There was nothing that they could do that was going to get them out of the situation that they were in. In verse 6, the shipmaster comes down and he tells them, wake up, call unto your god, right? I don't know how that they knew to differentiate between their little g gods and their big g god, because he doesn't tell them until later on that he's a Hebrew, right? But they knew that there was something different about Jonah. Does the world know that there's something a little bit different about you? In verse 7, they cast lots, right? God revealed to them the cause of the storm. Jonah, he's asleep. He didn't care if God killed him in the storm. He really had come to that point. You'll find this multiple times in the book of Jonah. He was willing to spare his life if it meant that he didn't have to go to these people, right? He's like, you can kill me, I'm not going. That's basically what he thought. I'm not going to do it. He's asleep. He didn't care if God killed him as long as he didn't have to go to Nineveh. Here's what he had done. And some of you kind of know where I'm going with this. He had basically said, God, I have went as far as I'm going to go for you. Here's the line. I'm not going any farther. Right? I know that I've grown a lot. I know that you've called me to do a lot. I know that you've, you know, used me in a lot of ways, but I will not go any further. Right? He had drawn a line in the sand and told God that he wasn't going to go any further. But what about us, right? So that's kind of the first part of the book of Jonah, very quickly. Like, that's kind of some of the things that you need to know about who it is that he was sent to. Some wicked, messed up people. They didn't like each other, right? If you think that God didn't like the Samaritans, man, this was like the Samaritans. This was completely different. Like, this was at this time in history, before, you know, basically they came through and wiped out everything. And redid it. Like, this was the time that they didn't want nothing to do with these people at all. I'm not going there. Right? Today we would call somebody like that a racist. Which is, if you're a child of God, you understand that, like, God made you exactly how you are. Right? Everybody. And so anyway. But that's who he was. He didn't care. He wasn't going to go. But what about us? What is it that God told you to do? We spent 6 months looking at the most basic of the basic things. What is it that God told me to do, right? Well, we looked at simply following God. Hey, are you saved? Hey, are you following, right? Are you a fisherman? All of those things, right? We looked at how God has told us the most basic of the things to be a spouse, to raise our kids, right? To be in the ministry, to how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in our work, right? All these different things. The most basic things. We just had a conference where I know God was telling some people to get serious, whether that means to get trained up, whether that means to whatever it is. What is it that God's telling you to do? Right? Because again, I'm not doing my job if I let you walk out of here with a bunch of facts. What about you? What about me? What about our life? What about what God's doing today? Because that's what matters. Not that this other stuff doesn't matter, but it mattered then. It doesn't really matter a lot today. What about now? What about when I have to walk out of here and go take care of my family? I have to go to work tomorrow for a boss that's a, you know what? What about now? How does that fit into your Bible? Right? Oh, let me just ask you. I got three things, right? There's always a list, and I got 10 minutes to do them. Three things that we do in our life to avoid the call of God. Three things that we do in our life to avoid the call of God. Now, we understand there are two calls of God in the world, right? The will of God is two different things. If you're lost, it's to get saved. If you're not saved, the Lord isn't super interested in how good of a husband you are, and how good of a parent you are, how good of an employee you are, any of those things. The only thing that matters in your life is getting saved, because if it doesn't matter, you're going to burn in hell, right? That's just the truth of the Word of God. There is one way. It's only through Jesus, right? So the call of God for a lost person is to get saved. But if you're saved, it's something completely different, right? But that's what we do as saved people. We're like, oh yes, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Now can I just check out? Right? That's what Jonah had done. He was of God's people. And he was like, I just want to cruise through life. And now God's wanting me to go and do something? something that's hard, something that's uncomfortable, something I don't want to do. It's going to take my time. I can't go do the things I want to do anymore. Now I've got to go to these wicked people. Why? Three things that we do to avoid the call of God in our life. The same thing that happened. Here's number one in verses 1-3. We just act like we didn't hear God. That's the first thing we do. We're just like, hey, did you hear something? I don't know. I didn't hear nothing. You just keep going, right? Did you hear that? He says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah didn't have a conversation with God, right? It doesn't say that he was like, hey, God, why do you want me to go to these people? It doesn't say like, hey, what's the details on this thing? Like, what's my missionary tactic here? Am I supposed to evangelize? Or am I discipling? Am I, you know, church planning? What am I doing here in Nineveh, God? He doesn't ask any of these. There's no conversation. Here's what he did. He just simply acted like he didn't hear him at all. He's just like, huh, did somebody hear something? Yeah, me either. I need the first ship to Tarshish out of here, man. I'm gone. That's what he did. He's just like, I didn't hear anything. Did you? Has God ever told you to do something? Or to stop doing something in His Word? You know, you're reading the Word, you're doing what you need to be doing, you're like, okay, I'm on the Word of God. And you feel like God's like, hey, I need you to take a step of faith, or, you know, hey, maybe you need to cut this out of your life, or hey, maybe, and by the way, the Word of God isn't a bunch of rules and regulations. Read Romans chapter 14. You know, we have liberty to do a lot of things. It's just what is actually edifying to the body of Christ and what's not. Anyway, you can get into that a different day, but to maybe stop doing something, or, you know, maybe a message that, you know, somebody's teaching or they're preaching, and you just feel like, man, I know God's trying to get my attention. And instead of like, okay, what do I need to do now, God? What's the next steps? We're like, nah, I'm keeping on. Don't look back. Don't look in the mirror. There might be some of that back there. I don't need that in my life. I don't have time for that in my life. I'm too busy. I've got, you know, all of these things going on. I got kids. My kids are in sports, and, you know, I got all these other things. I got hobbies. And if I start tracking with what God's telling me to do in my life, I'm going to have to cut some of that out. I'm not interested in that business. I didn't hear anything. Did you? You know, you guys are like, well, we don't do that. Come on now. I've seen you guys do that. I've seen you. You're like, hey, yeah, man, that was a really good message. I hope somebody heard that. It wasn't me, though, right? I hope that other guy, man, you're right. HBI is probably going to be full this year. Not with me, but somebody's going to be getting in it. Somebody's going to get trained up. I didn't hear nothing, did you? That's the first thing we do. That's the easiest way. We're just like, nah, I didn't hear you. You know the easiest way to not hear what God said? We just never open the book. We never come to church. We never hear what the Word of God is telling us. We live in a time where the Word of God is more accessible to us than any other time in the world. Man, we can have like ten copies of this thing at home. There's podcasts that you can listen to for probably the rest of your life, and you wouldn't have to listen to anything again about sermons, different things like that. Right? The church is available nearly every night of the week if you need it. There's people here for counseling. There's people, and you know what we do? We're just like, yeah, man, I got these other plans. I can't do it. I never open the book. I don't need to, right? I got my thing going on. Man, I'm glad that Jesus thing is working for you, man, but it ain't for me. Okay. Let me know how that works for you at the Great White Throne. Let me know how that conversation goes with Jesus when he was like, hey, man, I know you knew a lot about me. I know that you knew that, like, I was, you know, the King of the Jews, and I know that you knew that, you know, you were supposed to worship me. You knew all about me, but you know what? I never knew you. That's a problem that you're going to have to deal with. Hopefully you deal with it now instead of then. I'm just telling you, we'll just act like, nah, I didn't hear nothing, did you? That's the first thing we do. Here's the second thing, because I got to get done. The second way that we avoid the call of God in our life, in verse 3, we do everything we can to go against God. We do everything we can to go the other direction, right? Jonah went and he looked for what ship could take him as far away as possible. He searched it out. He was running from the presence of God. He spent his own money to run from God's call. Man, that's some serious not wanting to follow God. I've seen people do that. I've seen people be so convicted about what's going on in the church that they're in that they know that they can't just quit coming, so they just move away. Right? They do. They're like, if I just quit coming, then the people will ask me, like, well, hey, why'd you quit coming? So they just move. Like, oh, well, I can't go there anymore, right? And they conveniently don't find a new church where they go. That's interesting. It sounds like Jonah to me. We run from the Word, right? We run from the church. We run back to sin. We run to busyness. We run to quote unquote ministry. We do everything we can to go against Him. Why? Because here's why. Let me tell you why. We think if we turn away from Him, He won't want us anymore. We think that if I go the other way, if I go back to that messed up life, if I go back to that sin, that He won't want me anymore. And then he'll quit. He'll get off my case. Right? Yeah, I tried that for a lot of years in my life too when I was lost. I'll just live even more messed up. Yeah, God's like, okay, I promise you can't outsend my good. You can't. You can't outsend God's love. You just can't do it. Now, you might outsend some of the love of the people in your life, and you'll have to deal with some of those consequences, but you can't outsend God's love. You can't do it. We run, man. We go the opposite direction. We don't just say, hey, okay, if God's this direction, I'm going to go this way. We're like, no, I'm going that way. As far away as possible. I want nothing to do with the church. I want nothing to do with the Word. All the while knowing that if you do come back, it's the conviction's going to be there. That God's going to be there. And He's just like, hey, I'm here. Anybody willing? Anybody interested? Anybody? We do everything we can do against God. And the last thing that we do in verse 4 to 7, we act as though we don't even notice the Lord chasing us, right? We act like we don't. Did you hear something? Like, I didn't even notice that the Lord was coming after me. Like that it seemed like He was just there everywhere that I turned. No matter what I did, it was just like, man, He really is interested in me and my life and what I'm doing. Jonah sees the storm and he turns his back, right? He says, if I go inside, I won't see it anymore. He goes down into the ship. He says, you know what? If I go to sleep, I won't even hear it anymore. God can be here. I don't hear it. He's not here. Out of sight, out of mind. Jonah knows that he's in the wrong, but he refuses to pray. The shipmaster comes. He's like, pray to your God. Does it ever say that he did? No, he never did. He says, actually, you'll find out next week that he's so bitter that instead of praying, he's like, throw me into the ocean. I'd rather you kill me than me ask him to stop this. That's basically what he says. He's like, I'd rather you kill me. Because he knows, if I say, God, please stop the storm, that he will, right? Flip over to, I don't have time, but the passage where they're in the ship and Jesus is like, peace be, the only thing he says is, peace be still, and the storm is just immediately calm. Jonah knows, like, if I ask him, he'll stop it. But then I'll be like, I'll have to go to Nineveh, and I don't want to. So he's like, I would rather die. He's like, you know what you'll have to do? Come back next week, but throw me overboard and the storm will stop. Instead of me praying. He knows that he's in the wrong, but he refuses to pray. Let me just wrap it up this way. The reason some of y'all don't pray for God's help is you like the storm. You're like, what? No, just think about that for a minute. The reason some of y'all don't pray is because you like the storm. You like the destruction that comes with it. You like the pain that comes from the hangover, right? You like the messed up life of broken relationships because it means that there's no commitment, right? If I got serious about what God was doing, then I would have to change who I am. And so some of y'all are like, I'm not going to pray because I like the storm that I live in. You know that if you call on the Lord, that He will actually hear you. And you know what? That scares you. You know that if God says, hey, I want you to lay some things down and get serious about this, and you're like, you know what, if I do it, then I'll have to get serious. And that terrifies me. I'm not sure that I want that. You knew that the Lord was chasing you, but you would rather live in sin than follow Him. You'd rather die than submit and obey. Think about the last 6 months. God says, hey, these are the things I want you to do. And some of you guys are like, I would rather die than submit to my husband, right? I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I would rather die than have to love my wife like that. I would rather die than raise my kids the way that they want me to raise them, right? I would rather, no way, I'm going back to the old me. Back to sin, back to the world, back to the... Instead of being obedient, you're like, nah, I'm out, man. Forget it. I'm not interested in all that. And just to show you I'm not interested, I ain't never coming back. You know how many people walk out those doors and don't come back? A lot. There are a lot of guests here. And you notice that, you know, the church, it grows pretty slowly. And that's okay. That means there's a lot of people going back out. It's because people, they know that if they call on God's name, that He wants them to get serious. And they're like, nah, I'm into the storm, man. I like it. Well, guess what? There's lightning in storms. And, you know, the longer that you refuse God's light, you're just inviting lightning, man. You're just inviting, man, the wrath of God into your life. God has a plan to reach all people. And you need to decide if you're in on it or not. Like, that's for real. As we get into the book of Jonah, God has a plan to reach all people. And you really need to decide, am I in on that or not? And if you're not, like, don't tell anybody I said this, but this probably ain't the place for you. It's just not. Now, if you stick around long enough, God will change your bad heart into a right heart. So please continue to go through the right motions, even with the wrong heart. God will change your heart. But I'm just saying, like, if you're not in on all that, this probably ain't the place for you, because we're serious about what God's doing here. Like, I'm serious. The day that I gave my life to Christ, I'm a new man. I'm a new creature. I'm able to do things that I couldn't do before. I'm able to allow God to use me, to minister to people, to love people, right? To just live a life that isn't just for me. Right? There's something about that. You got to decide if you're in on it or you're out. Stop playing games, man. Stop playing church. Stop going back to sin and actually get real with what the Lord's doing for a minute. Like, God is calling all men. Some to salvation, some to sanctification. But the question is, what is He calling you to do? And really what you need to decide is, am I freaking going to obey or not? Sorry. Are you going to be serious about what God is doing in your life? Are you going to continue to just cast it off and say, nah, I'm out? Man, I'm so tired. Who was it? It was Wednesday night. I'm over time, but you know, some people are leaving, so maybe I made them mad. I don't know. Probably ministry. But anyway, like, it was Wednesday night. Doug Pearson, he's always about, man, maybe I need to sell your house and go to the mission field, right? And I was expecting that from Doug, always. What I wasn't expecting was he come out spitting fire. He's like, man, y'all got a discipleship problem. And I'm like, amen, brother, we do. We're so caught up in the process and this, that, and the other, and we've forgotten about changing lives. We've forgotten about getting serious about what the Word of God says to do. And instead, we're just like, no, I'm doing what He said to do. I'm at church almost every Sunday, right? I'm even here on a Wednesday every now and then. Well, praise the Lord, man. What's God doing in your life? Tell me about that. Like, what is actually happening in your life? What exactly have you laid down recently so that you could pick up something of God's will? Now, I'm not saying that when you give things to God that you quit doing all the things that you like. That's not it at all. God will use the things that you enjoy doing to reach people. What I'm saying is, like, we got to stop playing games. Because if not, y'all ain't no better than Jonah. And when I say y'all, I mean me. If we're not going to get serious about what God is doing and be like, all right, God, here I am, broken and all, messed up and all, what do you want me to do? Like, when you come to God with a heart like that, He's like, oh man, I can use something like that, right? It's kind of like the beginning of chapter 3. After you go through literal hell and the fish's belly, He's like, oh, I can use that. Oh, so you want to go to Nineveh? That's a good idea, right? I'm just saying, God will always be there. But it's always easier to respond the first time than the last. Stop playing games, y'all. We got to get serious about what God's doing. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. God, you're good. And your word is good. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this book, there's a lot of things that happened a long time ago, and there's a lot of debate on, you know, was Jonah really in the belly of a fish and all of these things, and God, you wouldn't have preserved it if it wasn't true. But God, more than that, in our own lives today, what is it that over the last several months, over the last several weeks, over the last several days, or even the last hours that you've said, really, I need you to get serious about this. Are you going to obey or not, Jonah? Are you going to obey or not, fill in the blank? How serious are we? And are we really ready to lay some things down so we can get serious about what you're calling us to do, Lord? I just pray that you would really convict some people's hearts and that you would get the glory for all of it. Because at the end of the day, you will get the glory, either because of us or in spite of us. So, man, what actions are we taking so that it will be because of us? Lord, use us. Be God in our life so that we don't try to sit on the throne instead. In Christ's name, amen.